time now for Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. An informative but laid-back approach to sports medicine on 1010XL.
Yeah.
Now, let's break some bones.
Welcome into Breaking Bones. We are fired up and ready to go. It's kind of a special Breaking Bones.
Very special.
We are Zooming, and we are also making dreams come true. That's right. Joe C. from XL Primetime, noon to three weekdays here on the Superstation, and my man, Dr. George Barry. Gio, I like to call him. Gio, what's up?
What's up, man? You know, the screen puts on 10 pounds when I see you on Zoom.
He is in Disney World. I was going to say Disneyland, but Gio's taking the family on a nice vacation just to enjoy Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. I do a really great Donald Duck like that.
If you That's want actually to pretty good.
Like that. Not bad. So we figured we would Zoom from the Magic Kingdom. So how has the week been? It's been a bunch of fun.
It's been good. Actually, a couple of friends came down too with their kids, so it's made it easy on the kids. They had a blast with each other, so it's been a great time. Good.
We love it. And listen, we're trying to get young George to overcome his fear of the haunted house. Did that happen?
Not the Haunted Mansion. What's it called? Tower of Terror.
Yeah,
the Tower of Terror. What I told my wife is the Tower of Terror is great. It's not just the ride that goes down; it's the whole atmosphere when you walk in. It's just true. Creepy. You don't want to be in there. It's cold. It's damp. They do a good job with that one.
Yeah, and I think more than anything else, the ride itself is like, I don't know, 40 seconds.
Yeah, they're all like, long. You know, 2 hour wait for a 30-second ride.
It's just waiting for that big drop.
Right, exactly.
All right, now listen, if you guys are doing any vacations during the football offseason, here we are, springtime, the spring break, yes, last week, this week. So if anybody is on vacation and you come back with an injury, you can hit us at 641-1010 because you can definitely imagine you push it a little too much. You go out of your ordinary schedule, and the next thing you know, you've hurt yourself a little bit. So 641-1010, if you have a sports injury, Dr. George Barry, fellowship trained under the renowned Dr. James Andrews, and right here in the city of Jacksonville, he has Barry Orthopedics. So we've got a handful of injuries to get to, two big ones from the college game that I definitely want to focus in on and just go back, because when we were talking about the Florida Gators last week on their run, making it to the SEC championship game, they play Auburn, they end up losing, but the biggest thing was they lost their center, Micah Hanlockton. He was taken off the court on a stretcher during the championship game against Auburn last Sunday afternoon. Anyway, he has an open fracture, and it's down near the ankle area, and you've seen the video of it, and it was scary as all get out for the players, because the ESPN cameras and audio picked up the sound. They saw the blood. Anyway, talk about that open fracture with Hanlockton and just how bad it was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so what's worrisome about open fracture is the infection. Right, because now you're open to air, and then immediately you saw blood on the floor in his other leg, which proved that it was an open fracture. So, a couple things: one, obviously stabilize the area once at the court, and then they take him to the hospital. Antibiotics: how quickly IV antibiotics are given is actually one of the biggest factors of reducing an infection. Now, granted, you can still get the IV antibiotics 30 seconds later, still get infected, right? So you have that, then you have to wash it out. And now, depending on how big of an open fracture it is, it depends on the fixation. So if it's a little pinhole, you could say, you know what, it's a little pinhole. Let's just fix it with a plate and screws or a rod, depending on where it's at, and definitively fix it. Now, if it's a major open fracture, as in multiple centimeters, it's a big, you know, and it's considered dirty, quote unquote, then you have a decision to make. Do you fix it and close it up and risk whatever implant you put in get infected? Or do you do what we call an external fixator? That big thing I always say from Office Space, the guy who was in the wheelchair had that big metal frame around his leg.
Yeah.
And that way you do that, wash out the leg, give antibiotics, maybe wash it out a second time, make sure there's no infection before you put hardware inside, okay? And that's a decision the doctor has to make, and it's depending, you know, how big the fracture is, how dirty it is. Now we've seen this happen in the NFL a couple of years ago. Who was it again? Alex Smith, I think.
Yeah, Alex Smith, the NFL quarterback in
And
Washington.
he had an open wound, open fracture, and then he ended up getting infected. And he had multiple surgeries. They talked about maybe having amputation because they couldn't control the infection, et cetera. So it was a big, big problem. So these things happen. And unfortunately, we don't hear it often, the infections, but they do happen, even in the best of care. And that's the biggest worry with them.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw the cast afterwards, but it's not that big. There's wrapping that goes all the way up the leg, and maybe you can explain that a little bit. And it was just a soft bandaging that goes all the way up the leg. But the actual cast itself was just kind of hinged around the ankle area. So does that help you zero in as far as, either the severity or the actual area where the open fracture occurred?
You mean after the surgery, the
Yeah.
splint that they had? Yeah, so I saw that, and it looked like he just had almost an ace bandage from the ankle to the right above the knee,
Yeah.
which doesn't really tell me much because in the picture, at least for me, I couldn't tell if that was like a compression sleeve or an ace bandage. And then it doesn't really tell me the treatment because if you got a rod, you can do a nail below the patella, so that would still cover it. So I'm not quite sure. It would be interesting. I haven't read anything about his surgery. I don't know if you have. I haven't been able to find what type of surgery
Yeah,
they
he was.
did.
The cool thing about it is they armed him with a camera, and they just basically set him up on the court side. They put a bunch of chairs up where he could put his leg up, and the dude's long legs. He's tall. He's a 7 foot center. But all of it is just the ace bandage, and so it doesn't show an actual casting. At least it doesn't look like it. Now this is the only picture I'm looking at right now, but it's just like you just described, from mid thigh down to the wrapping around the ankle joint in the foot. And you can't really see a big cast.
Yeah, so you can't tell exactly what it is.
No, no.
No, it's tough to tell. We always see these, and as time goes on, you'll see what kind of surgery they had. So we'll see, I think, in a couple of weeks what happened to him.
So he definitely was lost for the rest of the year. He's going to come back, and open fracture like that, I would think, like you said, you avoid infection. You don't really have to worry about him not being able to come back and not being able to play once he's fully healed.
Well, we always say if the fracture's in the joint, it's a bigger problem. I don't think his
Okay.
was. So usually when it's open fracture, usually it's the shaft of the bone because it breaks and you get two sharp ends, right? And the sharp ends poke through the skin when it's something like that. Now you always have a big trauma like a Tiger Woods situation where it's a car accident and his talus, which is not a sharp bone, is sticking out of the ankle. That's a different story. But this wasn't a very high energy fracture, so it's more going to be, it's kind of a freak fracture. The ends, the middle of the bone probably just split, and then it pierced the skin.
All right, so that one, Micah Hanlockton from the Florida Gators, as they are trying to just hopefully have a deep enough bench to operate without him. Meanwhile, the Kansas Jayhawks, they open up NCAA tournament play. They are able to come through with a first round win. They didn't have Kevin McCullough Jr. He had a bone bruise, which basically kept him out the second half of the season, about a couple of months. And so I want to start with the bone bruise, but Hunter Dickinson did play in the first game. So I just want to talk about that bone bruise for Kevin McCullough that basically knocked him out of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and he was out for how long, you said?
About a couple of months.
Yeah, so we talk about this, right? Talk about bone bruises or bone contusions. They can take months to heat to get better. And this is one example of that. Fortunately, we see a lot of bone contusions that a couple of weeks and they're back, but there are times where it takes a couple of months, and this is one of them. So for bone bruises, it's just time to let it heal and get better. And then if they don't after a couple months, then you start looking at surgical options. And the options that we have now are PRP and stem cells that you can inject into the bone itself, not the joint, but the bone itself. You get a trocar, push it in, and inject the stem cells, hopefully causing the body to kind of heal itself and get a healing response since the body wasn't able to do it originally.
So, explain just a little bit more with bone bruises, because it sounds like some can be more severe than the other. We mentioned Zay Jones, who had the PCL, had it cleaned up, at least we believe he did, after the Jaguar season was over, but it was also long talked about, probably over a couple month stretch where he also had a bone bruise.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've all had bone bruises, or excuse me, a bruise where you get punched in the arm, you're like, oh man, that's sore, and you're sore for 5 minutes, and you're fine. And we've all had it where you get punched in the arm and you're sore for like 2 days or a day, right? And it's taken way longer than normal. So it's the same concept in the bone. You get a bone bruise, take a week or two, and then you get a bone bruise and it takes a couple months, just depending on the injury.
All right, the other guy that did make it into the tournament for Kansas is Hunter Dickinson, and he was dealing with a dislocated shoulder against Houston a couple of weeks ago. He had looked like his arm was getting ripped off by the defender as he was being pulled back down from the hoop. Anyway, he wears what looked like one of those real high-tech kind of hold it in place compression sleeves. I don't know if you saw a picture of this one, Gio, but it's interesting because it was the mesh, and it was he still had the mobility. Obviously, he needs to be able to extend his arm, but it seemed like it controlled that area much better.
Yeah, so he had this. So this is very different than when we talked about this earlier, earlier in the week. There, at least I don't see it on this. There are braces where you see he has a sleeve on his arm, and it connects to your body. And then there's a like basically like a cord or something that connects the body part to the shoulder part that does not allow your arm to go up and to go out, external rotation, and to get into the positions of vulnerability to dislocate. In basketball, you need to be able to lift your arm up. You need to be able to do external rotation. You have to get a rebound. You have to do a block. I mean, there's many, many movements you have to do. So he obviously could not wear that. So what he has, it looks like just a compression sleeve. It looks pretty cool, but it's just a compression sleeve. And basically what that does, the compression gives it some stability, helps the support structures around the shoulder. And if he was feeling fine, right, after one dislocation, he can play, but he's definitely going to be at risk of dislocating it again. I didn't watch him play, so I couldn't tell if he was favoring that arm a little bit. But you're definitely at risk if you dislocate and play a week later. I mean, there's no way around it.
Yeah, and look, I watched the first night's game, and he looked like he moved pretty well, probably better than I expected. And you got to give him credit that he's able to go out there, and like you have said many times, this is kind of a pain tolerance thing as much as it is anything else. And you take a look at it, and it's just one of those that it just kind of harnesses the movement. It doesn't limit the movement, which is pretty cool when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, he had to make a decision. Either I don't play or I play. And then if he plays, do I wear the sleeve that really limits me, which at that point you might as well not play because he's probably not going to be doing as well. Or do I go for it, wear a compression sleeve, still have range of motion, but have a little bit of stability in the shoulder?
Yeah, simple as that. And hopefully, if you have a shoulder pain or anything like that, you're taking a look at it. Like we always say, don't try and lift weights above your head. But if you have any pain like that, you definitely have some possibilities to kind of ease the pain a little bit. Still, maybe go out and play a little hoop, whatever you might want to try. So definitely check it out. You can go to BariOrthopedics.com and definitely find out a little bit more. And like you said, PRP in that area, that is possible to help the shoulder, correct?
Yeah, it can help with pain. I mean, look, it's not going to stop your shoulder from dislocating by any means, right? But if you're hurting, PRP, can definitely help.
Right. Yeah, let's make that distinction exactly. All right, let's get to a couple of questions off the text line, and we'll get back to a couple of these sports injuries. I want to bring up Scottie Scheffler, who was able to come through a pretty significant nerve stinger at the Players. He was able to go on and win. That was pretty cool. All right, going back to last week real quick, Gio, we mentioned Gerrit Cole. And Gerrit Cole was pulled off the mound in spring training, basically shut down and said, "Hey, we're going to rest your elbow." But the question that came in, listening to Breaking Bones, how much of a guarantee is it that Cole can rest his elbow to go back to throwing 100 miles an hour and not injure it? How does that happen?
It doesn't. He has zero guarantee that that's going to happen. We have seen plenty of pitchers with forearm stiffness who rest, who go back and play, and they come back with a UCL tear. So there's zero guarantee. I mean, there's no way around it.
How long are we talking about resting it before you can go out if you did
Yeah.
suffer
I mean,
either the forearm stiffness or the elbow injury?
that is a great question. And the answer is number one, if your MRI is negative, which I'm sure they did on him and it was negative, that's why they talked about him going back to play, is when it feels better. And that's it. When it feels better, then that's all you have to gauge with. You don't have any objective finding. So there's objective and subjective findings, right? Subjective findings is what do you feel? You tell me, right? But I can't prove that you feel that way. That's just what you tell me. Then you have objective findings. An X-ray, an MRI that you look at and say, this is broken, this is torn. There's an image in front of you that 99 out of 100 people, when they look at it, will see the same thing, right? That's an objective finding. So when your objective findings are all negative, all you have left is your subjective finding. And that is, how do you feel when you throw the ball? When you throw the ball, how does it feel when you're sitting there? Does it feel swollen? Does it feel tight? Right, those are all subjective findings. And once that is improved, then he can go back and play, right? But look, anytime you have forearm stiffness, we've seen it both ways. We've seen forearm stiffness go back and play and they have no problems. And then we've seen forearm stiffness, they go out and play and then they have a problem. And at that point, there's nothing to do. I mean, the only way you're going to know is to go out and play and see what happens.
Yeah, you have to test it, and hopefully you don't have any recurring injuries, because that's the thing that you want more than anything else, is just to kind of be freed up, and that's the challenge. Let's talk about another guy that looked like he had an injury, was able to play through it, did get treatment during the Players Championship, and Scottie Scheffler goes through his first round, basically has a neck stinger, and was able to play through that. And it might, actually, I take that back. It might have been Friday. Bottom line is, he had a neck stinger earlier, in the Players Championship, had to be pulled to the side. I like to call him a physio. Physio comes over and starts to stretch his left arm across his chest, and then takes his neck and tries to at least stretch it out a little bit, and then was able to get treatment after the round, came through Saturday pretty well, and then ultimately goes on and wins from five shots back on Sunday, where it looked like he was completely not pain-free, but not limited when it came to taking the full swing. What did you think of that?
I mean, I think it's great. First of all, I love the way you say physio.
The
I think
physio.
it sounds so much better than physical therapist, right? It just anything British sounds better. But I mean, I think that's great. And I know we talked about him, I think, last week, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I mean, we say it's a, it's a pain tolerance thing when he could come back and he didn't want to re-aggravate it, but the fact that he was able to come back and do that is amazing, and I think it bodes well for him. And just hopefully there's no more re-aggravation of that injury.
Yeah, in its range of motion, and I'm watching this video where he was just going through his exercises and just trying to do the full circle of the neck. You know, we have our guys. I invite my rebound rehab guys in who were trying to nurse me back to full health, and we'll talk to them next week. And these little exercises that you can do, which you always point out, you can do rehab, but you have to actually do rehab. You have to do these exercises that they recommend. So anyway, Scheffler is doing these little exercises, maybe in between holes. And so the one thing they were talking about is that, and this is like inside golf, but a player on the announce, I'm trying to think of who it was, but you know, a past player can tell whether a guy wants to hit it one way but can't because of the limits with the nerve stinger or the neck stinger. He was able to move the ball left to right, but he wasn't able to move the ball right to left. So then we get to Sunday, par five, ninth, and you have to move the ball right to left. And so the analyst, I'm trying to think if it was Brad Faxon or Kevin Kisner, one of these guys said, hey, if he can hit the draw here with no limitations, you know that neck is 100% better than it was yesterday. And lo and behold, ropes it right to left. And so that is basically the physio doing work, right? Just kind of freeing up that area.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely helps. It definitely helps free it up and move him around. Now, I want to say this. Last week, I had a talk at the World Golf Village, I think on Saturday.
Yes.
And
You were educating future healers.
I texted Joe because Joe supposedly works for the PGA. I said, "Hey, are you here?" Because, and Joe, of course, like, "No, I get in later. I wanted to get a grand tour of the facility. I figured, hey, I'm here. I just want to say, Joe, no one has ever really seen you at the World Golf Village working. You just keep saying that you're working,
Yeah.
but no one's ever, you know, you always invite us to go come check it out, but we really don't get a real invitation. So I just want to put it out there."
I'm kind of like George, that's always working so hard for the Yankees, and whenever they go look for him in his office, he's never there. And he's sleeping under the desk. That could be me. There's not real proof that I am in an announce booth talking to the rest of the world outside of the United States. How convenient.
Right. I mean, how convenient. It's just, oh, yeah, you guys won't hear me. The rest of the world, though, hears me. Don't worry about
Oh, listen,
it.
one of these days you're gonna get a full tour. And my announce booth is I don't know, it's probably a 6x6 or an 8x8 room. But we also have all these other broadcast trailers. I feel like I'm in palatial settings when I have to walk out and go into those other trailers with the announce booth all tucked inside a semi. So I swear, Gio, I'm talking to the world. I'm feeding them golf, even though you don't believe me.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you, what's up with Liv and aren't they merged and all that stuff? Because I haven't heard anything about Liv anymore.
There was a meeting in the Bahamas, a high level policy board level meeting where supposedly Tiger Woods and maybe a few other PGA Tour members, along with the PIF, the Saudis, they were supposed to have gotten together after the players. I want to say this might have been a Monday meeting, and it had kind of an emergency high level attention to it. So we'll see where it goes. But it's stalled. There's no doubt about it that they now have money coming in from within the U.S., and so they still believe they're going to work with the PIF at some point. But this thing needs to happen, because once we get to Augusta in a few Sundays, Gio, and let's just say John Rahm or Brooks Koepka or whomever is in the mix there, it's going to dig up those old wounds again. And I'm a golf fan. I want to see them all play together. And I don't know how soon that's going to be. It's a
Yeah,
bummer.
it's interesting.
Yeah, it really is. All right. So let's get to a couple of other questions that we had. And by the way, we did have a comment about Scheffler from Sunday this past week on Breaking Bones. Scheffler with a neck injury barely made it through the third round. What was he dealing with, and will it reoccur? So we've kind of answered most of the question as far as, you know, how he was able to deal with it. But if you're repeating the same motion, the danger of it reoccurring at any point is still present, right?
Yeah, we always talk about repetitive motion causes problems, and there's no way around it. And golf, I mean, golf, like of any sport, it's the same motion for every single play, right? I mean, I don't do golf, I don't play golf, but when you're swinging it, I feel like when you're swinging with a driver, when you swing with a wedge, you're doing the same motion, right? The only motion that changes when you're putting, but everything else is the same motion. In tennis, you have the overhand serve, but then you're changing. You do front hand, back hand, and then you're running around, and it's different motion. So, you know, it's just repetitive motions are definitely a problem.
It's a great point, because tennis, you do the same thing, but there's at the very least some variations. You are reaching across your body. You're returning off your left leg. You're returning off your right leg. You're having the overhand, underhand, and so you can't do all that. You can't do all that stuff with the golf motion. You may be taking a lesser club length, but you're still
Yeah.
basically executing the same swing.
Every once in a while, you need to swing like Happy Gilmore, just change it up. But that's it.
Yeah, that's it. By the way, one of these days you're going to pick up golf. I'm going to, because it's one of those things you can tell Mrs. Dr. Barry, look, I'm working on this. I really want to be good at it. I'm thinking about making the Champions Tour one day. And then you can just immerse yourself in it.
Yeah. And say, I have to be out. It takes, you know, actually, it's funny. I was at the pool and I heard these three women were talking amongst themselves. I was with my son and they were saying, "Oh, so and so, they're only on hole number 11. I think they need 3 more hours." And I was like, ah, this is why they play golf. They have an excuse to be like, I can't be here for 8 hours, babe. I gotta go with the guys for 8 hours.
I had a buddy who convinced his wife that a round basically took 8 hours, which included gambling, guzzling, and golfing. And so, you need to, if you can carve out enough time, you can definitely make it last all day. But most of the time, generally speaking, about 4.5 hours for a round of golf.
Is it 4.5 or the, I mean, you don't have a golf cart, you're walking, that's always slower. The guy in front of you, the guys in front of you are slow, you had to wait for them. You know how it goes.
It is. It's work, man. It's work, Gio. I tell them all the time. They don't believe me. All right. Now, listen, I got to ask you two things. One is kind of out of your wheelhouse. And then the other one is right where you are. You're going to have to tell me your favorite Disney character. And this is a side of you that maybe people haven't seen, but you're going to have to tell me your favorite Disney character. But I got to bring up this other story first. It blew my mind. This is almost Disney-like because it's an imaginary world that you're in down there. And Hacker, he doesn't want to admit that it's imaginary, but it is. But this is real. They did a pig to human kidney transplant. Pig to human kidney transplant. Now, this was a genetically modified kidney. Apparently, there were, I don't even know what this means. Gio, maybe you can educate me a little bit, but there were something in the neighborhood of 60 genetic modified whatever alterations to the kidney. I guess I don't know why or how you need to do that. But basically pig to human kidney transplant.
Yeah, so I'm not smart enough for that, so I couldn't tell you what the 60 modifications are, but obviously modifications had to be done so an animal part can fit inside of a human and work and not be rejected. Now we put animal, sometimes we do animal parts in humans for like tissue grafts, but it's kind of dead tissue. We irradiate it, we kill it, right? So you kill it and then you kill all the cells, you put it in the body, hoping then your body uses that as a scaffold to grow.
Okay.
That's very different than putting a living tissue because you know, if you're going to transplant a kidney, you can't kill the kidney and then put it in there. That's not going to work. So you need this thing living. Now it's a very different story. So now all the living cells, all the pig cells are there, and you have to make it in a way where your body doesn't outright reject it and it works in the body. So they had to modify it. Look, if it does work, and honestly, I'm sure one day, even if it doesn't work now, well, in the future, it's a big deal because there's a lot of people waiting on the transplant list and not enough body parts for it.
It's incredible. There's something in the neighborhood of 16,000 that receive kidneys. There's 90,000 that are on a wait list. If this does happen, apparently, real quick, he's 62 years old, in Massachusetts. He had end-stage kidney disease, but he had a kidney transplant in 2017, a human donor, and it failed beginning, I don't know, last year about this time, went on dialysis and was able to get this. So look. Amen. If it works, amen. All right, real quick, we got about 30 seconds left. Your favorite Disney character.
Man, Mickey's classic. I like Goofy.
Who doesn't?
So make your Goofy.
I'm a Donald Duck man.
Are
I
you?
really am. Because I think he's causing more problems than people realize. That's why he's always kind of in the
He definitely,
background.
yeah, he's and he's always angry.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. He's me. All right, listen, we are done. Dr. George Barry, you can go to Barry Orthopedics. You can see everything that they can offer you if you have sports injuries. If we missed any of your questions, we'll try and get to them next week, but remind them where they can find the podcast.
Apple, Google, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Tower of Terror. Yeah, you killed it today. Have fun, and we will talk to you next week on Breaking Bone.
You've been listening to Breaking Bones with Dr. George Barry and Joe C. on 1010XL.